How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It's game day. We don't do a lot of pre-game day shows, but with it being a Thursday game, biggest game of the year to this point, we just couldn't miss it. I'm here with the man himself, Ant. Look at him dressed out in his 5'4 jersey, looking all freaking tough, about to run Oklahoma drill. Oh, how you doing, Ant?
Yeah, I'm doing great. I love game day. And, you know, doing a show before the game, I don't normally get to do that. Like, I don't do one game day before. So this is kind of a unique opportunity. And, yeah, I had to sport Fred Warner. This was actually the first 49er jersey I got with, like, the new crew. So this is one of my favorites. So I always bring it out in these big games. And Fred usually shows up in big games, and that's what I'm hoping he'll do tonight.
Man, so, like, the journey of Fred Warner this year – you know, best player maybe in the NFL for the first month of the season, then, you know, fractures his ankle. It doesn't miss a game, just plays through it. Obviously, play dissipated considerably. Hasn't been his usual self, but Batman is not Batman without Robin. And he's about to get his sidekick back, number 5'7", my favorite player, Dre Greenlaw, activated, going to play tonight. How do you think that's going to affect Fred? Will it at all?
The energy. Fred's going to feel that energy. They feed off of each other. And Dre Greenlaw, the first time he lights somebody up, it's going to be one thing. That's going to permeate through the entire football team. But just him being out there in uniform, I think he's just going to give everybody an extra lift. Everyone knows who the enforcer is of this football team, and he's going to be out there. And him and Fred just have a synergy together. They're just, you know, just that dynamic duo like you brought up. And every time that they play, they kind of play off of each other. Their strengths really match up. Their weaknesses really match up. So they do a good job of covering for each other in certain situations. This is the perfect player to play next to Fred. It's exactly who you need. And, yeah, it's going to give them a huge lift tonight. I'm excited to see Dre Greenlaw. And when a game you need to stop the run, this is your best run-stuffing linebacker on the football team, and he's back.
Oh, I'm so excited, man. And so right here, Joel says, is Greenlaw activated? He is. They have officially brought him off of the PUP, physically unable to perform list. He is on the team, which I just love. Greenlaw's back, and man, I just love it. We need Greenlaw coming back like Nightwing. Oh, I freaking love that. I could not be more excited, man. Dave, you know, I can't work with a hangnail, and Fred plays with a fractured ankle. He's so good, man. Ugh, he's so good. So much respect for that man. And I just can't wait. Like, it's funny because, you know, the first thing I saw whenever they activated, I went and found my clip. I don't know if you're The Wire. I don't know if you've ever watched The Wire. It's like by far one of my favorite show. Just the Omar coming, and he's walking through like the towers, like the lawn, and everybody's just running. And he's just like, hey, oh, like Omar and Dre Greenlaw are just synonymous in my mind because they're the enforcers. It, whatever it is, and like one of the things I go back to, I'm a huge analytics guy, and you know, paying attention to next gen stats, PFF, EPA, whatever, throw out whatever acronym you want. Those are beautiful things, and I think they're important. But at the end of the day, this is a gladiator sport, and whoever's freaking gonna thump whoever else, it matters. And so, whenever you get guys like Huff back last week, the physicality, the anger, the tenacity, and now you're about to get Mike Tyson wearing number 5'7" out there. Let's channel it this way. What role practically do you think Greenlaw, he doesn't step back into his normal linebacker 2 role tonight, does he?
I think when you're in base 4-3 sets, if they ever put you in base 4-3 sets, which they did a lot in week 3, I think Dre Greenlaw goes back to his normal role. I think when it goes to nickel situations is when you want to kind of bring him in and out, depending on the situation. You put him and Devondre Campbell out there sometimes, and then sometimes you just switch those guys up. I think they're going to be interchangeable. So I think in base 4-3 sets, yeah, let's have him out there stopping the run in his normal position. And then when you go to nickel, let's sprinkle him in there. Let's give him 25% of those snaps or something like that so he can work himself back in.
Yeah, there we go. Chrissy, shout out to Chrissy. The Seahawks stop at the goal line, that started it all. That was the 2019 year, his rookie year, came in with Debo and Bosa. That draft, oh my gosh. Debo, Bosa, Greenlaw in one draft? Whew. Whew, give me chills thinking about it. But yeah, there's so many great Greenlaw moments. And is he going to get a personal foul? Probably. I ain't even going to be mad. Like, we're a team that has given up 100 penalty yards on special teams 2 weeks ago and 60 penalty yards on special teams a week ago. We could do with the Dre Greenlaw suplex. That's all I'm saying. That's out. Not saying play dirty. I'm saying enforce. Do what you got to do, and we got to give love to the actor Michael Williams, who played Omar, by far one of the greatest characters in television history. What an amazing actor. Rest in peace, man. Rest in peace. Now, I think Greenlaw is going to be linebacker 3, kind of like what you said, maybe filter in on some nickel sets. And here's the weird thing. I don't know what you think the Rams are going to do. Rams are the most 11 personnel team in the NFL. Usually, when we played them in week 3, they were in 12 personnel almost nonstop. But now they got Puka. Now they got Cup back. They're probably going to go back to 11 personnel, right?
I would think so. You know, I mean, I think it all depends on if they think they have an advantage against Diamondre Lenore in the run game. What are you going to get? I think Diamondre Lenore does great when it comes to run fits. The 49ers are more than willing to bring up a safety. And so I think that it makes sense for 11 personnel, but that's what I thought last time because they never run 12 personnel. Yet they came out and they did it predominantly. So let's see what they do. If they go 12 personnel, I think that actually plays into the 49ers' favor this time. Dre Greenlaw, Devondre Campbell, good at stopping the run. It's not Demetrius Flanagan fouls like they were attacking last time. Like, this is different. Mm-hmm. And so it probably is the best to go 11 personnel. And then can you significantly run the ball? I don't know if they can. So to me, I think that does give the 49ers an advantage. And exactly what they need to do. They need to find advantages, and that could be one. Slowing down that run game is going to be important.
Yeah, and it's weird, too. You know, we always focus Niners, and we're going to spend most of our time doing that. But you look at the Rams, they're beat up as well. They're starting tight ends out. Their backup tight ends questionable. Their number 3 wide receiver is questionable. Their number 4 wide receiver is questionable. So, like, they're just, yeah, I'm not quite sure how the chameleon McVay is going to handle this personnel-wise because he's kind of all over the board. But we got a super chat here from SGA Sports Talk Channel. Go give him some support. Thank you, man. Appreciate the super chat. He said, what's your score prediction for the 49ers game? I'll let Ant go first if you have one. I think you and Mark put one out there too. How are you feeling about the game overall?
You know, I feel pretty good about the 49ers. I think the one concern I have going into this game now is probably weather, you know, and yeah. what that means for just security of the football. We know if the 49ers don't turn over the ball, they usually win games. If they turn over the ball, it doesn't usually go that way. But I still think the 49ers are going to win. I put it somewhere. It's very similar to the score I picked last week, and thank goodness they blew the doors off the Bears. But I thought it was going to be like a field goal game, 26-23, something like that. I think that's kind of where I see this game headed as well. 49ers just being able to outlast the Rams in the end because everyone's playing for everything. This is the closest thing you can get to a playoff game in the regular season. Both seasons are on the line. I think we're going to get everyone's best effort.
Yeah, 26-23, that's ridiculous, Ant. There's no way that could happen. My prediction's 27-24. So much more realistic. How dare you just be a crazy person. I'm just joking, obviously. James right here, he says, so what's the over-under on our kicker or punter doing something done? I gotta speak up here. Our putter has been pretty solid. O'Donnell's been awesome. He's had that one punt when they didn't have a returner and he kicked a touchback. That was about the only negative. Since he showed up, he's been great holding. But yeah, I mean, at least Jake Moody made his field goals last week. Obviously, the two kickoffs that one of them hit like almost the 30-yard line. And he turned around and looked at the ground. It was so funny. Like he missed-kicked it, the kickoff. They started the 40. And then he turned around and looked at the ground. Like Levi's has been voted the best playing surface in the NFL in back-to-back years by the players. And he's like, I don't know. Anyway, I'd say pretty high on the – I don't want the game to rest on a kicker, but both of us at Vegas all have a three-point spread for the 49ers. So at some point, it's going to come down to that right foot of Jake Moody. What's your confidence level? Let's say it's tied up. 49ers are kicking a 45-yarder to win the game at the end of the game. How confident are you in good old Jake Moody?
Well, what's crazy is it all depends on what end of the field he's also headed towards. For whatever reason, there's one side that just gives him fits, even at home. So this one's a little bit nerve-wracking for me. I don't know. I think I lost a little bit of confidence last week in Jake Moody when he couldn't get kickoffs into the end zone, and it wasn't a called thing by Schneider. I thought maybe they're trying to call it to bounce, but it was just that bad. You know what? I'm just going to say that, you know, Moody, if he needs to, he's going to drill it. He's going to lock in. And get it done. We're just going to show some confidence in Jake Moody, but I can't lie and say it doesn't give me flashbacks of Mike Kofer back in the day when I was just worried everything was going wide left. That's kind of where I'm at. I need more Ray Wershing in my life where everything's automatic and less Mike Kofer, and right now we're getting Kofer.
Yeah, you better be careful. You just said lock it in to the kicker. I don't know where Tabor Pepper is currently, but I'm just saying, just watch your six. That's all I got to say. Yeah, hopefully, you know, let's get it done. Now, let's look back. It's been a short week, and it's funny. Ant and I were talking. Wayne and I were talking before our show just a couple days ago how hard these short weeks are because it's not like we delete coverage. We still do the Patreon breakdowns. Go support Ant. 40 hours cut back on his Patreon channel if you haven't yet. You guys know Ant. I get all the positive messages, and I try to send a bunch to Ant, but sometimes I'm busy and I don't, and I apologize. The people have spoken. 49ers coach approach is here to stay. So go support Ant any way you can. Check out his channel, 49ers Cutback. And if you really want to support him and put your money where your mouth is, Patreon, that's how we put food on our tables. So go check that out. So you did the film work. I know it's hard to do on a short week. What are some things that you noticed in the coaches tape, the all 22, that perhaps you didn't notice on the live broadcast?
Well, it's interesting. I think that probably the things I noticed the least amount were on defense. I saw some things that I liked from the defense overall. Number one, Talanoa Hufanga is an absolute stud, and I think by now everyone's kind of figured that out. But the versatility that he was able to present was really big because normally you put Jair in the box and he's going to miss a tackle or he's going to have a bad angle and it's going to present a positive game. But with Hufanga, you don't have to worry about that. So the simplified things that Nick Sorensen normally does works when you have better players. Shocking, right? You get a better player, you get a better result. But I did see some things that I liked as far as some stunts and some things like that where he kind of opened it up. It wasn't drastic. It wasn't crazy. But it was enough to generate some opportunities for some of his pass rushers and also throw off the offensive line a little bit. So I like that. But I also saw a lot of cover two. I don't know if you saw that as well, but it looked like there was more cover two than I've seen in any game this season. And I like that. And they could definitely confuse Caleb Williams with coverage.
Yeah. And so it wasn't like there was a lot of disguising. There was like, it was minimal disguising. Like our Malik would walk up like he was, you know, the extra linebacker and then would fall back after the initial call set. So you'd see Caleb Williams setting it. He'd go into his cadence. Then he'd like, it was simple kind of level one disguising, but I'm okay with that. I'm totally okay with that because if you're disguising from cover three to cover four, that changes the zone beaters that people are going to be calling in their first, second read. If you're changing from cover three to quarter or to cover two, which yeah, I like the cover two because especially with like Charvarius Ward, who I think physicality's there. He's so good early in the route, but I feel like having help over the top is huge against some of the fast receivers. Now you're playing the Rams. Cooper Kupp's not really fast. Puka Nacua is not really fast. Tutu Atwell is. He's gotten behind us in the past. That's a little bit of a concern to me. But yeah, I like the cover too. So let's dance a little bit with the Rams. What is your coverage scheme that you want to see the most of tonight versus the Rams and how you stop this passing attack?
Yeah, I think I want to see a lot of cover three and quarters. That's what I want to see them running, especially with the three wide receiver sets. Let's make sure we don't have those Tutu Atwell type situations. So it is a different scenario with the three eligibles that they're going to be able to put out there compared to what you got from Chicago. Because even though Chicago had three pretty good receivers at the top, their routes, they weren't willing to run three verticals or anything that was going to really press you down the field. Well, that's not the case with the Rams. Sean McVay will do all of it. He'll do everything that he can. So making sure that you keep things underneath is going to be important. You've got to make the Rams be methodical against you. You got to make them go on 10 to 13 play drives and execute at a high level because we've seen Stafford do it for a half. We haven't been able to see him do it against the Niners for a full game. Steve Wilkes didn't allow him to do it last year. I think that's part of the game plan. And you would think Brandon Staley would have a pretty good idea of what Sean McVay likes to do.
Yeah, you would assume. And even, you know, you go back to week three, 49ers dominate the first half, could have put the game away. Offense goes stale. McVay does whatever the hell he wants to against our defense and Nick Sorensen in the second half. And I'm kind of scared of that. I mean, we still have every single team we have played has scored points in the fourth quarter. One of my favorite bets this week is 49ers up in the first half, 49ers down in the second half. So like what lead, let's say the 49ers go into halftime with a 10-point lead. Are you comfortable?
I think I am now. I don't think I would have been a couple weeks ago, but I am now for a couple of reasons. It starts with number 29 being in the secondary and making sure we're not going to have coverage bust, which has been a huge problem for this team. But with Hufanga back in there, everyone was on the same page. I think that's number one. Number two, you're not just going to run the football down the 49ers' throat anymore with number 57 standing there looking back at you. If you want to know what Dre Greenlaw's effect is going to be just on the mentality of the other team, just go back and watch the Super Bowl when he went down. The reaction from the Chiefs' sideline said it all about who Dre Greenlaw is and what kind of enforcer and what kind of impact he has on this team. So
yeah,
those two things right there kind of illustrate that I think that this defense can change a little bit as far as getting those stops. Now, they haven't proven it, so they got to go prove it, but I do think they can do it in this game. I think this is a good opportunity for them to show that they can get a lead and they can go keep that lead.
Are you a person who tends to overspend on or around the holidays? Well, Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. And the best part is, you don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can start investing your money in just 5 minutes. You also don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be as small as $5 a day or just some spare change. That's right. Acorns can round up every purchase you make to the dollar and automatically invest your spare change for you. So whenever you go to get your coffee before you go on that shopping trip,
guess what? That's investing. I've used Acorns for a long time, way before this sponsorship started. And a big reason why is because you can invest without time and without a lot of money, and you can choose how aggressive you want to be with the amount of money that you invest. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorn.com/49ers.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and, you know, I like this question from Malik. He says, how does Greenlaw open up coverages we could run? Seems like he'd make the receivers want to stay out of his zone. Yeah, it makes going over the middle rough, but I think the biggest issue is it grants the safeties a little bit more time to chill and relax a little bit and focus on their jobs more, because the 49ers historically have run the lightest boxes, usually a six-man box, 4-2-5, right, against the run. But whenever you have Fred and whenever you have Greenlaw, the run game just doesn't work as well. So that allows the secondary to be a true secondary and focus on their coverage drops more so, instead of overemphasizes the run, play action, play pass, all those things. So it just provides just like, hey, we got the run, y'all got this. And on top of that, Drake Greenlaw is great in coverage. Just think about all the games against Russell Wilson, his picks, he gets his deep drops. He's one of, I think, three linebackers the past 3 years to have a plus 80 grade in coverage. So that's huge. It takes away the screens. He's the screen stopper. That's his role. And so excited about that. It just makes everything flow smoother. Joel says, what's the news on Isaac Grindo? He's going. Not even a game time decision. They came out and announced he's good to go. Took one day off, went through the walkthrough. Isaac Grindo's going to play. So for you fantasy people, if you got him, you got to start him. Make sure he's in your running back role. Yeah, it could come back to haunt you, but it doesn't matter. If he is playing, we know Kyle Shanahan does not believe in taking snaps off. If he's healthy, he's playing, and he's the guy. So I expect 15-plus touches, if not more, for Grindo if he plays. And do you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they wouldn't put him out there if they didn't have confidence in him, because the likelihood is one of those other running backs is going to be inactive. So if Grindo is going to be the guy, I think they were always hoping he was going to be able to play. And I think he's got an opportunity to get some big-time runs against a Rams defense that hasn't been very good at stopping the run this season. They give up nearly 140 yards per game on the ground. This is opportunity right now, especially with weather. Get the ball in Grindo's hands and just absolutely let him go, especially because he's a 230-pound running back who doesn't mind contact. If there's one thing that I like about Grindo, he doesn't shy away from contact. Would I like him to avoid it sometimes? Absolutely. But the good thing is he's going to stick his nose in there. He's not afraid of it. He's going to get extra yards. And it's always inevitable. There's going to be some sort of explosive in the run game from Isaac Grindo. It's not if, it's when. And that's exactly what the 49ers need in this game.
Yeah, I remember my draft write-up on him was 2 yards, 3 yards, 1 yard, 20 yards. Like, if he gets the touches, they're going to happen. They're going to happen. And so I think that's huge. Great question here from Sodia. Can Kyle veto Sorensen when he's calling predictable plays? He can, but it's not so much of a veto. When the 49ers are on defense, Kyle's working on the next play calls and talking to his offensive coaches. But kind of what happens on the headsets, you have two channels. Offense channel, defense channel, and special teams channel, probably for the NFL. But what you would do is you switch over and you say, hey, guys, seems like they're getting us on this coverage drop or whatever. Let's try to stay away from that and focus on this moving forward. That would kind of be, I don't think it's, you know, Nick Sorensen's in the headset talking to Fred Warner saying, hey, we're going to do this. And then Kyle jumps on and says, no, screw that. Don't do that. I don't think it's that type of style. Most coaches don't do that because you can only communicate till 15 seconds left on the clock, the play clock with the player. So it's much more of an anticipatory kind of veto. Hey, let's try to do some of this. Let's do some of that if you can figure it out. But Kyle's an OC, and he's a play caller. You watch him. He's off to the side looking at his play sheet, talking to Kubiak and everybody else. Hey, what's going to work? What do we want to do? How'd they play this front? Did they over-pursue here? That's one of the negatives of having a head coach slash OC on the field. That's a problem. And so I don't know. Anything to add to that?
I think that's exactly why Kyle got Brandon Staley. It was right. He's not available to do those sorts of things. So Brandon Staley's the one listening in every single time, and he's the one that's got to say, hey, wait a second. You know, we've got a break tendency here. We got to do something different. They're killing us with this. Yeah, and Kyle can kind of voice his opinion from time to time. He said, hey, from now on, guys, hey, when they go third and six, this is what Sean's probably going to do. But he does not going to actually call the defense for him. Maybe give him a insight here or there. But you're right. He's fully focused on the offense. And if the offense plays well, it sure as heck helps the defense. So it does work together. But that's why you have to have a Brandon Staley helping a guy like Sorensen in his first season. With, you know, last year they didn't have to worry about that because they had a very experienced defensive coordinator, but they don't right now. So Brandon Staley's been a huge pickup for them.
Yeah. Shout out to my man Bobo. He says, if we were to win just one more game this season, would it please be against the Reds? I'm with you 100%. Yeah, like, I'm petty. I am petty, man. And so I hate the Rams. And I want to say we had some breaking news earlier. Look at this from Roger. This is crazy. Roger says this, John, I found a real Rams fan in Rhode Island. That's crazy. I lived in L.A. for 6 years. Never saw one. I didn't know they existed in the wild. They sure don't exist in SoFi. So that's pretty cool. Guys, can you believe this? There are Rams fans that exist in the wild. That's what's up. Shout out to my man, Rob. I killed the show yesterday right before your super chat. I wanted to say thank you, Rob. You are a good man and a good friend. Want to say thank you. Really, really appreciate that. All right, let's go back to a couple other things that we saw this past week versus the Bears. One of my favorite things offensively, the amount of play action, the amount of screens, that was pleasant. But anytime, I think this is kind of funny, the Bears ran off cover three. We destroyed it, which is problematic because that's the same defense we run. And so it's like, man, Kyle and Brock saw this off cover three coming and just torched it. And they have great secondary. Like, I mean, it didn't matter if Jalen Johnson was out there. We were putting them on skates. And it's just like, man, if we're able to take advantage of that same defensive scheme, why do we run the same defensive scheme? Like, it bothered me. So from an offensive standpoint, I was like, ooh, man, this is awesome. We were cooking. Our pre-snap reads were on fire. But, man, we allow teams to do the same thing to us continuously. And so I was just, I don't know. I was happy and mad. I was arguing with myself in my head the entire time. I don't know if you had that same issue.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think last year the conversation with Steve Wilks was he did too much, right? There was too much activity pre-snap and everything else. And then, so you wanted to strip it down. We heard Bosa last year talking about, we just got to do what we do. Well, I think they went the other way and stripped it down all the way. And now they're trying to find that happy medium of the in-between that D'Amico Ryans rolled in the entire time. And that's what they're trying to get to. And it's been a process, but you're right. That part is frustrating because you can tell right away, usually coming out pre-alignment, what the 49ers are running. Every once in a while, they get you with something. But that was exactly what Brock Purdy did to Chicago. I mean, he cooked them. It was so good seeing him. They came up, they figured out what they're running, and they just hit the quick out to Juwan Jennings. Like, oh, boom, there it is. We're just going to take what they give us. And it was huge. The other thing that I really liked was Brock Purdy handled the blitz and where to go with the ball against the blitz so well in that game. He was catching them in a rotation, and he was absolutely killing them. And I thought that was really nice. And the Bears were trying to blitz on 3rd and 8, which I don't really understand too much. I thought they would play the sticks, and it cooked them. It burned them, and George Kittle had a big play off of it. So I liked the way Brock Purdy was handling the game for sure.
Yeah, that play, it was crazy because they blitz and they attributed 2 defenders to a bubble that Debo ran out to the flats. And so not only was there nobody in the middle of the field, and not only did you send 2 players screaming at Debo behind the line of scrimmage, George Kittle was just like, all right, we'll do this. Like, if you want us to do this, we'll do this. And of course, you know, Kittle took what little you gave him and made a heck of a lot more out of it. But yeah, it was good to see the diagnosis. Now we play against that defense, so yeah, a little bit more familiar and used to it. So I thought that was interesting. Now, one of the other things that I did like, I love how much zone defense we played. That was cool. Every time we went man, we kind of got hurt. There were 1 or 2 times in the first half we didn't get caught, but we should have because there were some busted coverages on there. And I loved Hufanga on special teams. Like, Hufanga finally gets to come back and play. And guess what? We put him out there on special teams, and he was awesome on kickoff coverage. He really, really was. And then, so, like, I'm looking at Dre. Do you think we'll see him out there on kickoff?
I don't think we'll see Dre, no.
No, you don't think so?
I think we'll see Huff and probably Jair still. I mean, Jair did pretty good on special teams as well. And I think they have to have those guys play special teams. Now that they're kind of, playing this like it's playoff time, now you just go out there and roll with your best guys on special teams. So I don't think we'll see Dre. I would love to see it, but no, I don't think we'll see him because they're just going to be too concerned about that injury.
Yeah, I respect that. I respect that. Rob says, you know, he had a great friend that was a diehard Ravens fan who just passed away. RIP, man. Hate to hear that. Hate to hear that. Hey, Gerson, he says, I saw a Lambs fan here in Fort Lauderdale. Caught me off guard. It's like spotting Bigfoot in the wild. That is awesome. I love this. We are a very lucky fan base. And it's funny because, I mean, how many teams has the Rams, like how many cities has the Rams screwed over? You know what I mean? Like, they just take turns, like, I don't know. Anyway, it's what it is. Now, before we move on to the second half of the show, is there anything else that you wanted to talk about that you saw last week versus the Bears, Ant?
Just the consistent marriage of coverage to pass rush. You know, when the coverage needed to be there, it was to allow for the coverage sack. And then when the coverage was maybe going to break down, the pass rush would prevent it from happening. And that we haven't seen consistently this season, but it was nice to see that work in the 49ers' favor. And that was the first time, and it was the first time they really got a big blowout in a game. So it was all hands on deck, and I thought they did a good job with that. And if Nick Bosa plays in this game, that could be huge for what they do against the Rams.
Gosh, man. Just the fact that he got bumped to questionable, I think that's huge. Usually on short weeks, you're like, you know what? It's a short week. We're just going to rest you. But the impact of this game, and it stinks that it is a short week. Like, imagine if this was a Sunday game and Dre Greenlaw had 3 more days and Bosa had 3 more days and Garindo had 3 more days. I know the NFL's only concern is money and TV revenue and eyes, but it's like, man, this is the definition of a Monday night football game. This is the definition of a Sunday night football game. At least it's prime time and everybody gets to see it, but it's like, man, we're being shortchanged a little bit because if we just had more time, if only we had more time, that's what it is. But yeah, the coverage, and if we could get Bosa back, that just makes everything better. Now, before we jump to the second half of our show, I want to give a shout out to MyBookie. There's a free bet on MyBookie, risk-free. That's for the Lambs, though. If Puka Nacua scores a touchdown, you get paid. And if he does it, you get your money back. I felt dirty betting it, but I did bet it, Ant. And I don't know if everybody else is. But if you are going to bet, make sure to use our sponsor, MyBookie.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything? Go to mybookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
All right, let's look forward. Ant, the coach approach, let's do it. What are some things you want to focus on moving on forward tonight? For tonight? Scheme, whatever you got, X's and O's, let's hear it.
Yeah, I think the first thing is getting that run game going, and they get a big boost by having Isaac Arendo. But, you know, last time the Rams played against the 49ers run game a little bit different. They were more great on the edge. I thought Jared Verse really helped out a lot and prevented some of those outside plays. They normally got a push on that edge, and then they were able to run inside of that. So I think they need to change up their game plan a little bit. And I'm looking at Fisk, and Fisk is a guy that I'm a huge fan of. I watched him play so much at Florida State because I'm a Florida State guy. So I knew exactly who he was, and I know who he's not. And they need to go ahead and run right at him. When he's in the game, if you have an opportunity, let's go ahead and let's double team him and shove him straight into the linebackers who aren't that great either and get movement up front. If they do that, I think they can have a successful run game, whether it's Garendo or Taylor or whoever it is. So I like that attacking him. I also like attacking DeJuan Johnson, another one of their defensive tackles. I loved him in the draft process a couple years ago, but he's a lighter frame guy, and he has to be able to win with penetration. If you can get some movement on him, that's another opportunity to get movement. So I would like to see some old school blocking techniques this week as well. Just let's get some power run game going. I think the 49ers could do that, run right up the middle against them.
Yeah, I like that. And I'll say this, like, if they're going to put Fisk out there, like, he's not the great run, you know, defender. He's a pass rush specialist kind of guy. But, man, I feel like Isaac Garendo's strength is running inside. I understand the speed. I totally get that. But his vision, or lack thereof, is an issue. When he has a predetermined hole to hit, I feel like that's when he's at his best. The outside zone, I think that's where his skill set eventually will go. But, man, he just doesn't have the vision yet. I'm with you 100%. I want to attack up the middle, hit those creases, because, again, man, they do that wide nine stuff to us. They do the 5 and 6 man D-line fronts. They're susceptible up the middle. And so I'm with you 1,000% there. I think that is a big, big deal. Now, you also talked about the run game and how you have to commit to it. I don't care who's out there. If Garendo plays one series, he gets hurt, God forbid. Don't care if it's Patrick Taylor. Don't care if it's Debo. Don't care if it's Kyle Juszczyk. The run game is going to be the way in which this whole entire game is dependent. One, your defense will stay fresh. The passing lanes will open on play action, play pass. Everything starts and ends with the run game. I don't care if we're down to running back 6. Please, for the love of God, Kyle Shanahan, run the ball. We saw it last week. And even the last time we played the Rams, we ran it 30-plus times. We weren't highly efficient, but, man, I just hope we commit to it. And so it's funny because people are like, I'll get asked a lot, like, oh, are you betting the spread? Are you betting the money line? What are you doing? What are you doing? And I'm like, man, I don't know what Kyle's going to do. I don't know. If I knew we were going to run the ball 28 times, then, yes, I would commit to the spread. But I don't know. It might be Rady. That makes me kind of hesitant with Brock. The running back situation, that's just kind of where I'm at. So I'm just like, man, if I could be on that headset and be like, hey, Kyle, we need more runs. We need more runs. Hey, Kyle, we need more runs. I don't care how many we got. We need more runs. And I know it's not that simple, and it's dictated by the looks you get and all that kind of stuff. But, man, let's go, let's go, let's go. One of the things that I wanted to talk about with the offense, and one of the things I want to see, is play pass versus play action. Last week we saw play action where the quarterback turned his back to the defense. I don't want to see a lot of that. I want to see play pass where Brock keeps his eyes downfield because you're going to get a lot of weird blitzes. Got to get some free blitzers and all that kind of stuff. So play action's great, but I want a lot of play pass. Just that quick fake bow give. I want three-step drops. I want the ball coming out quick. Decisiveness. And I feel like it's coming off of Brock's one of his best games. Not the one where he got hit and sandwiched by three dudes after missing the check down. But, man, quick tempo, three-step drops, play pass, get the ball out quick. Get the ball out quick because this is bad secondary. They're not very good.
Yeah, they're not. And their linebackers aren't very good either. So you're going to have opportunities. And with them going with a five- or six-man front, it creates some easy opportunities to get Juwan Jennings and Deebo Samuel in space. There's going to be avenues to throw the ball because if you have more guys there, you have less guys in the back end. So they go to like some 5-2 looks. They'll even go to some 6-1-2s that Brandon Staley kind of brought to L.A. when he came there, and they still run those. Chris Shula is definitely running all the things that he's learned through his time with Los Angeles. So this is nothing new. Kyle's not going to see anything he hasn't seen, and Brock Purdy's not going to see anything from the defense that he hasn't seen on film already. So they just got to take advantage of what they got. Getting that run game going and then running, you know, the play game like you're talking about is exactly what they got to do. It's a little bit tougher to run the play action with the boot against the Rams because they have those outside defenders that can account for Brock Purdy when he comes out in the boot. And so those things make it difficult. But if you start getting the run game going and they have to start squeezing that down a lot more tight, then you can get him on the outside. And then those boot passes start opening up, which would be deadly against the Rams. But it's going to take some work to be able to earn that. And once the 49ers do earn that, that's when they can really have explosive offense.
Yeah, and I mean, Chris Shula, Shula's Mike Shula's boy, what's it called? He's been with the Rams since 2017. So I like what you said, how you're not going to see anything new. Like, he's been there since Shanahan's been here, and they played at least two. Like, we play this team all the damn time. You know what you're going to get. You don't even got to watch the film of how the Rams play other teams. You don't even do that. Like, I know Shanahan puts his clips up, and, you know, your DC, your OC, everybody puts their clips up to show you, okay, this team's for real. You don't have to do that this week. Everything's on the line. You play them all the time. We played the Rams over 150 times. 150 times. That's ridiculous. Ah, let's go, man. Observe natural evolution. Kyle Shanahan run the ball. Fans, that's what the fans say. Kyle Shanahan says, no, I don't think I will. That's the Captain America reference. We've been running the ball pretty efficiently lately and consistently lately. Just, man, stick with it. Stick with it. Stick with it. All right, Ant, what's something else you want to see or hope happens for the game tonight?
Yeah, I hope the 49ers can stop the run with the light box. If they can come out and stop it with the light box, that's going to be huge. I do expect the Rams to run more 11 personnel than they ran in week two, but there's got to be an emphasis on stopping that run. If you can stop Kyren Williams and Blake Corum forever getting started, that's going to put this defense in a good situation because then the Rams, they'll stick with it. McVay, if there's one thing he'll do, he'll stick with the run against the 49ers. Not all teams, but against the Niners usually does. Whether he's getting 2 or 3 yards, it doesn't matter to him. So if you can force third and long, you're putting yourself in a great situation because the Rams only convert on third down at 36% of the time. That's going to give you opportunities for turnover on downs, which they need, but also put the defense in some good situations where you can allow them to catch the ball underneath, rally, and make tackles, which is when this defense is the best. So I think those are huge situations. Plus, that will get Etor Gross Matos on the inside, and that will allow him to rush against some of the guards, which I like that. For the 49ers, I think that's a good situation because he's got enough power to kind of bully a couple of those guys, but enough speed to really give him some problems. So It's about stopping the run with a light box and then forcing third and long so you can get off the field.
Dude, yes, yes, yes. One of my things that I wanted to talk about that I really want to see, Sodia, shout out to you. What's the plan on defending Jared Verse? He's been having a season. He's got 4.5 sacks, but a lot of pressures. And he's going to be coming from the outside consistently against us. I want chips. That's what I want. I want not Doritos. I'm talking about Kittle, Saubert, Grindo. I don't care. Kyle Juszczyk, I want chips. Juwan Jennings, don't care. I want tight chips and pass protection to whichever side Jared Verse goes to. Not giving him the full Nick Bosa treatment where we have to evolve our game plan around him. But if we're doing a 5-7 step drop and they're showing you know, 4 to 5 man pressure. I want somebody to leak out to the side, whether tight alignment, tight end, wide receiver, and just chip, not double team. Just give a little shoulder to help out Jalen Moore, to help out Colton McKivitz at pass pro. That's what I want to see. Because if Brock has time, which he's had time the last couple weeks, like he's had very clean pockets in the Buffalo game and in the Bears game. And if he gets the time, I think we can get the ball out because his secondary is not that good. So what is the weakness of the 49ers offense? I think it's tackle play and pass protection. Not too concerned. Jalen Moore's been great. But I'm just saying, make it easy on them. Give them an easy game by just providing some assistance there. And man, one of my favorite plays that I wish the 49ers could run. Put Kittle over there. Chip, turn around, flash your hands. Like, it just because you put a chip block or extra supporter there doesn't mean that player is no longer going to be ineligible in the pass game rotation. Oh, man. Anytime Kittle gets the ball in any way, shape, or form, it is a success. Let me ask you this. If you could dictate the bare minimum of targets for George Kittle this game, what number kind of pops into your head?
8. I think 8 is where I would go. I want to see George Kittle get the football in a bunch of different situations. And I think Kyle has kind of found some ways to get him the ball last week that I really liked, whether that was manufacturing some screens. I mean, a middle screen that we haven't really seen. We've kind of seen that pop screen, you know, to the side real quick, but we haven't seen anything in the middle. That was great. And I think that George Kittle wins on third down so much, but there's just a huge advantage of George Kittle against those linebackers and safeties. I love those matchups for the 49ers, and I think they have a real problem when they go to their three safety looks, because when they put Lake at nickel, there's an advantage for a 49ers wide receiver, but I don't even think that Quentin Lake can cover George Kittle if they're one-on-one. So I think that's an advantage for the 49ers. So, yeah, get him the ball 8 times. And one thing about Jared Verse, watched him so much. He's a very athletic guy, but he likes to be able to go full speed all the time and attack. You want to know how you slow down that guy? You make him think. So you run screens. You run plays that are going to go around him. You make him have to squeeze things down. Every time he has to think, he hesitates. When he hesitates, you got him. So there's a bunch of different ways to attack him. I like chipping from time to time. I think that's always a good option. But also just running directly at him in the run game and then being able to use his aggressiveness against him. Kind of what they did last week to Montez Sweat a little bit.
Yeah, I like, you know, it's funny. You say get the ball to George Kittle 8 times. Do you know how many times George Kittle has had 8 or more targets this season? If you had to guess off the top of your head, I know you don't know this. And
2?
I didn't know it either. 2 is correct. That is, I hate to say it. He did against Arizona, and he did against Minnesota, both in the first 4 weeks of the season. He has not had 8 targets since October 6th. That's my wife's birthday. And so, yeah, you got to get him involved. You got to get him more involved. Last week, 6 catches on 6 targets. That's unbelievable. Just get this dude the ball. He should be the primary read on so many of the plays, especially against this linebacking core, this safety group. There's got to be plays made for Kittle. God, I wish we could just find a way. Look, dude, just throw the ball to 8-5. Throw the ball to 8-5. Just get it there. JP, what's up, man? He says, does our new running back, Israel A, get any playing time tonight? Ant, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, now that Isaac Arendo's playing, there's a chance that he could be inactive again. I think they want to get him in this. Let's see what happens. I would love for him to be the third running back going into this game, as long as he has a good feel for this scheme. It shouldn't be that difficult coming from the Jets scheme. It's similar in the method at which you attack. I know there's some things that are a little bit different, but as long as he gets the verbiage down, I'd love to see him, because he's definitely more dynamic than like a Keyshawn Vaughn and for sure a Patrick Taylor. Patrick Taylor is going to be the guy that does things right. But Israel Abandikanda has the opportunity to do things really well with that speed and the ability to make people miss in the open field. So I would love to see him as number 3, but I'm not guaranteed that it could be Keyshawn Vaughn.
Ooh, there we go. There we go. I like it. I like it. A couple other just real quick things right here. Again, we talked about this earlier, JD. The big question, do I start Garrido in fantasy tonight? What are your thoughts there? I think you got to start him.
Yeah, I'd start him too. I think he's going to get the carries. If he wasn't healthy enough to get multiple carries, he would not be playing.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Now, here's kind of the big one. It's supposed to rain. I don't know. I'm checking the forecast currently in Santa Clara. Now, this is just based off the weather app. Rain is supposed to stop right at 5:30. Kickoff's at 5:15, I believe. Right. Is that correct? So it might be sprinkling just a little bit. So if, you know, and a big thing about the rain is just Brock Purdy controlling the football and it's slipping out, which has been a major issue. But yeah, so let's say it's sprinkling, 5:15 kickoff. You're out there. You win the toss. We always defer. We always defer. I think that's got to be the game plan, right? I don't think you switch it up. You're hoping they get the ball first, especially if it's raining. Yeah, thoughts there?
Yeah, Kyle loves going 2-for-1 at the end of a half and getting the ball coming down the second. It's always going to be to defer. But if it's sprinkling, I'm not worried about Brock Purdy. If it's a downpour, that's when I start getting concerned. But sprinkle, you can keep the ball pretty dry. He can keep his hands nice and dry before the play happens. So that I'm not worried about. Your forecast that you said, I hope that sticks, because if so, I'm less worried about this football game than I was, say, an hour ago.
Yeah. And right here, Pedro, who would you start, Jennings or Debo? You're starting Jennings, which is crazy to say, because you probably spent like a third or fourth rounder on Debo, and you probably picked Jennings up off the wire. But yeah, Jennings, he's going to get the targets no matter dictated the coverage is the X spot. That's just what it is. The only way maybe it would change is if you get special teams yard bonus, then you could go Debo. But even then, PPR, standard, all formats, Jennings. Yeah, you got to go Jennings. You got to go Jennings. It's just what it is. His over-under on Vegas totals for catches is 5.5 catches. Like, they're expecting a big Jennings game. Remember, the Juwan Jennings mega game was against the Rams in week 3, where he went for 175 and 2 tutties. So, man, how cool would it be if we get another one of those? I know that's like all time, and it's only been done like 3 times in 49ers history, but I would love Jennings just to keep balling out. All right, Ant, before we walk away from this show, is there anything that perhaps we didn't get to in your notes? I want to make sure we got it all. I don't want to short myself or the audience from Ant's wisdom here.
No, I think we pretty much hit on what the 49ers need to do in this football game, and now it's just go out there and do it. And I'm excited to watch this team. I'm really pumped to see Hufanga for another week. Excited to see Dre out there for the first time. You know, just seeing what this defense does and how they react. And, you know, if the 49ers get a big win, which I'm expecting them to, this is going to completely change the thought process for what the playoffs are. And that's exactly what we need. I'm not ready for draft coverage yet. We will get there down the road. Right now, we want to win football games. We want the rest of the season to be very interesting. And I think they can do it tonight by defeating a familiar foe. And it's always nice to beat the Rams. And it's going to be on prime time. Doesn't get better than that.
You know what I did? I did something probably stupid, Ant. I went over to the site, and I put $5 on the 49ers win in the division. It's $5. Yeah, all right. You win $90. Like, that's where we're at right now. And I don't say that to do that. I'm just stupid. But it's just like, man, this season has sucked. Let's just be very honest. It hasn't been fun. It's been fun. There's been moments. But, like, man, what if this is what sports do to us? Oh, what if? Just, man, imagine. It seems like, man, everything's kind of – Dre Greenlaw's back. The aura's great. Nick Bosa might be back. Like, Huff's back. Just like, oh, we even got a club out there on the field. Just old Patrick Willis, old Miss tape. Like, I'm just – oh, nostalgia's flowing. Nobody better to do it against than the Rams. I appreciate everybody. Let's get that dub today. Biggest game of the year. You guys are incredible. Thanks for hanging out with us. Ant, you're always amazing, as always. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles,
discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store. Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store. Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.